It's the third week of August 2022, and welcome back to the Anita Lasik podcast. Well, hello, and welcome back to the Anita Lasik podcast. I didn't actually think I'd come back. Actually, that's a lie. I always knew I would come back to this podcast, but I never knew when I would come back to the podcast. For those of you who are new here and listening for the first time, thank you so much for listening. And if you're coming back, thank you, because as I just stated a few times before, I haven't I haven't uploaded in quite some time now. So for those of you who are new, or for those of you who are returning and would like a little refresher, my name is Anita and I am an art student right now studying at OCAD University. I'm doing my undergrad degree in drawing and painting, and I'm living in Toronto, and this podcast is just about me, my life, and, you know, just about myself in Toronto as an art student. And not necessarily all the way art-related, but just like a fun little hangout sesh with me. So if you want to join along, this is the right place to be, but thank you. So I feel like we can backtrack a little bit to where I have been and what I've been doing. And I feel like this is a very good comeback episode to join in on if you want to know what I've been up to these past few months. I started the Anita Lasik podcast back in January. I started off really good. It was really consistent. And then life just got progressively more and more busy, I would say. And I didn't expect it to be so busy. It was my first semester actually coming back to school in person. Not all of my classes were in person, but I'd say the good majority, like more than half of what I had in the semester, were in person. And I feel like I kind of had a difficult time adjusting to that, whereas like prior I had them online and it was kind of easier where I could just log into my class, you know, from my bed sometimes, or from my desk, which is right beside my bed. And I just had like an easier time with that. So going back to in-person after not being in person for so long was just such a big switch. I feel like that could be a lot to blame. It's also a lot to blame on the fact that I was in my third year, and I feel like things have kind of picked up more and I started taking my art a little more seriously. So just like the time dedicated to the podcast, I feel like I neglected it a little bit, but what can you do? So I made a few episodes and I did struggle, you know, getting on time and with the schedule. I think the first two episodes were like super on time, and then it kind of got a little wonky. But you know what I realized? If you guys have been following me for a while now, I also used to have an art account called Niche, which I don't really post much on there. Maybe I will start posting on there again, but who knows? No promises. And what I did on there is I did a Halloween portrait challenge, where if you guys know me in like real life, if you guys are good friends of mine, you know how much I love my horror movies and how much I love like the horror genre in general. So what I wanted to do for Halloween last year is make a challenge of doing Halloween. I don't know if it's necessarily my challenge, but I thought it'd be fun to make a whole bunch of portraits, like 31 portraits of horror characters done in acrylic paint on a wooden panel. And I was so hyped up for this. I went to the art store in September. I think actually not even September, I think in August I was getting prepared for it. I went to the art store and I bought out all of their wooden panels. I was priming them, having fun. I made lists of like what I'm going to do each day just so it's easier for myself. I was so set and ready. And I don't know, I feel like that kind of like confinement, like the restriction that I have to have it done on this day, it just made me like so overwhelmed that I'm like, okay, I'm not doing it anymore. So I gave up on that. So you know what? I think it's maybe, if I give myself too strict of a schedule, I won't do it. Maybe that's what I've kind of figured out about myself. And if you're following me now on Instagram, which if you want to follow me on Instagram right now, it's Anisiu. It's Anisiu, which I'll also list it in the description of today's episode if you guys want to go check that out. I'm doing a 100-day heads challenge, and that's like a pretty popular challenge going around Instagram right now. And I see a lot of like artists like I admire doing this challenge, where basically it's just trying to like force you into kind of making your portraiture practice, making your skills in portraiture a little better by just like intense practice. So you have 100 days and you make one portrait each day for those 100 days, and you post it on Instagram under hashtag 100 heads challenge or 100 day portraiture challenge or whatnot. And it's just to kind of like get you in the habit of producing something every day and like doing something. And I have been doing that. I've been posting it. I've been having like a lot of fun with it. And then I think it was when the whole Canada experience, I don't know if it was Canada or just like Southern Ontario experienced it, where like the one of the internet providers, the internet was down, and that kind of like threw me off balance in a way. Like I couldn't post my portrait of the day, so I didn't post for like 3 days after that, and then it turned into like 4 days after that, and then a week and 2 weeks, and then I'm like, well, there's no rules anywhere in this 100 day portrait challenge that I have to post it like consecutively. I mean, maybe there are, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay away from that. So I'm still doing this 100-day portrait challenge, but I'm not going to do it in like a consecutive 100 days. Like, I hope it doesn't take me triple the time, but I know with like slow and steady, I'll make it to 100 days somehow. So where am I getting with this? I'm getting with this that same thing with my podcast. I don't know if I'm able to promise uploads on a certain day like I was before. I think I was getting everything done on like a Tuesday or something. But I will be posting often. Maybe not often. I will be posting whenever I can. So stay tuned on that one. But yeah, that's the moral of the story. I've also realized that when I make art, I also realized that another problem I had with like making the podcast was I feel like I was running out of interesting things to do. So I'd go out and I would do things specifically to fill up, like to say I did something for this podcast, which I think was an issue. And I've gotten more into the habit. I've been posting a little bit less on Instagram, just because it's the summertime, you know, I want to take some time to enjoy things. But now I'm kind of going back to these like basic art practices. I've been doing like I have a whole routine now. I'm a totally changed woman with my art practice. Maybe I'll even, you know, now that I'm making this comeback with my podcast, maybe I'll make a comeback with my YouTube. I'll show you my like art practice, but it might be a little boring. But anyways, what I'm getting at with this is that I kind of stopped making things to post, which I feel that's a really bad habit, but I feel like it's a very common habit. And I just started making things, you know, like just to make things, like just for fun. And I was thinking about how sometimes you lose the thing about art that makes it fun. Like I had this roommate a while ago, and I was doing a midterm assignment. I was so stressed about this midterm assignment. And she goes, "Why are you so stressed out about this midterm assignment? Like this is painting. This is art. This should be fun." And like she wasn't taking any kind of, like she was in a major completely separate from mine. She didn't know much about what she was talking about. And this comment, it like really annoyed me and it was really getting to me. I'm like, how could she say such a thing? Like art's supposed to be fun. I'm taking my art seriously, blah, 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 blah. But now that I'm thinking of it, I was thinking about that a while ago. And why is art so stressful sometimes to do? And like sometimes you don't want to do art. And then I'm thinking about things like people doing art therapy, and I'm like, would, if I were to do art therapy, would I benefit from it, or would it be worse because the art stressed me out so much? But I'm like, what if I go back to just doing stuff that I used to do in high school or like elementary school and like draw with like pencil crayons or crayons and just be like really like don't have too much end goal in what I'm creating? And I started doing things like that, and it made it a lot more fun to do. And I started making more, and of course making more for myself and not even to post on Instagram, which turned out to be a lot of things to post on Instagram because I made more quantity of things with more like care, because I didn't have this whole end goal to come out with. And the best thing about not having an end goal when creating art, especially if you're in art school and you're like kind of stressed out about what you're making, is that you already kind of have the skills of like making cool stuff. So whatever you do like make, even if like you don't really care about what you're making, it turns out really cool. So I really enjoyed that. So I kind of like took a few steps backwards in like my whole creation process, and you know, it worked out really well. And I just wanted to share that. Sometimes you need to pedal backwards and take some time off by doing some things that seem a little off. So I think it's good to get back into what I was doing between February and my last episode that I filmed and now. And that was the chaos of this past school year, which was my third year. And it was so, so overwhelmingly stressful, but also so rewarding. And I think a lot of that is to do with just going back to school and having the studio at my like disposal and being able to talk to everybody again. And now I really appreciate having all this resource and having this community back with me, because I never realized how productive I could be. I feel like I struggle with productivity being at home, especially because I feel like there's like a lack of motivation or like responsibility when I'm by myself, especially when I'm at home, because why would I sit down at my table doing work when I have a bed right beside me? And I have a couch right beside me. And if I'm a little tired, why don't I take a nap? Like, that's how I'm kind of thinking about things. But when I'm at school and I'm tired, I'm going to go and I'm going to get myself a coffee and get back to work and have some productivity. I'm not going to have that kind of cozy environment, cozy space to let me sleep or like doze off or do something like that. So I'm feeling a lot more productive being back at school, and especially being back in the studios. I am feeling like no pressure on making my space very neat or clean. Not saying that I'm leaving it neat or clean, but in my house especially, I'm very picky in how I work, and I always make sure that I have an apron on, I have gloves on, I'm not touching anything, and I have to make sure that nothing's touching anything else other than the glass table that I'm painting on, which I have it designated for my oils. Because I don't like mess. I try not to be a messy person. If you know me and you've been over to my home, you see that it's kind of minimalistic. I shouldn't say minimalistic at all. It's not, but I like to keep it a little bit on the tidier side. I don't really like knickknacks too much. And my walls are like absolutely blank. Like, that's one thing that I think is kind of hypocritical about me. Like, I'm an artist. I'm like constantly creating artworks. And right now it's like I have nothing on my walls. I feel like part of it is due to the fact that like I don't know how to hang anything up by myself. But also, I don't know if I would want to commit to having something on my wall. Or like I wouldn't want to have like that particular like image on my wall. Like, I like it when people, I do like it when I walk into other people's houses and they have like their walls and they're like filled with paintings, or when someone takes a painting from me and they like show me a picture like it's on their wall, I'm like, wow, that's awesome. And sometimes even I like look on Pinterest and I look at like how people like style their rooms and like they design everything, and I'm like, oh wow, like that looks super cool, and it's a bunch of like art prints and different paintings and the walls are all like busy and it looks like very homey and nice. I like it for other people, but I feel like I wouldn't like that on myself. I feel like when I have like clear blank walls with just like the coat of paint on them, I feel like I'm thinking clearer, if that makes sense. Like it's like not, it's like empty, so like my mind is empty. Maybe that makes sense, or like maybe there's like some like thoughts behind that, or it's just like my weirdness. But yeah. So anyways, where I was getting at is I don't like to make much mess, and I'm very, when I'm working at home, I feel like I might be a little overly cautious in how I'm painting. But when I'm at the studio and I know that it's a space dedicated that I can make mess if I need to, or like if I drop some paint on the ground, it's not gonna really affect anything, you know? Like I could easily clean it up and I don't have to worry too much. It just gives me a lot more freedom. So experimenting with other materials and, you know, maybe like new application techniques and just like getting out there. I don't have to fear about like ruining any of my things or the floors or anything like that. So working again, like at school, gave me so much more freedom from like for all of that. And it's really nice. And also, working at home, with oil paints, I don't think, or even acrylic paints, I don't think is the safest. I read somewhere that, not that I read, I think I heard from one of my professors that working in acrylic is even really dangerous for you, especially if it's in the same room as you're sleeping, which kind of scared me because I always used to work right beside my bed. Because of course, everything I used to rent out was like a super small space and I could only work beside my bed. I've switched completely to working from beside my bed into my living room, like slash dining room slash kitchen area, because in Toronto, all of those are one room. And I've noticed that, well, I feel like it has made a difference in like how I'm sleeping and whatever. But basically, what this like professor told me is that sometimes you feel very sleepy after walking out of an IKEA or a fabric store, and it's because it's the acrylics and all the acrylic is kind of like jumbling up in you, which is the same fear that people have with oil painting. And of course, oil painting, I feel like, also has its risk and like the gases involved. And you just don't, all in all, I feel like anytime you're working with that kind of stuff, that's like a lot of chemicals, it shouldn't really be beside you when you're sleeping. And if you're in like too small of an area and you don't have much like wind or like airflow in it, I don't think it's the healthiest option. Which is also another reason why I didn't oil paint. I think I stopped oil painting till about November, which I think I mentioned before on the podcast. Because I was so scared about this airflow. In my first year of university, I lived in a basement which barely had windows, and I was oil painting in there, and I got myself super sick from that oil painting that I was doing because I just did not have the proper ventilation for it, and I was like, I thought it was like the end. I was like lightheaded and like I was nauseous, and then I threw out all my oils one day. And then all of a sudden, magically, all my symptoms went away, and I wasn't like suffering from it anymore. So yeah, I feel like the studios made a big difference in making me like helping me to create more because there's no more fear of anything anymore. And of course, like experimenting things, and then also like the storage that I was able to store my stuff somewhere other than my house, since my house is very small. It also gave me that as a plus. So yeah, I was creating a lot more and creating a lot more, as I mentioned before, like for myself and not for a certain purpose. So it's like a little trap you fall into is creating for something other than yourself. A really fun thing I've been experimenting with and like my new favorite technique that I kind of got from this year was working with oil pastels. So what I do is I never draw on my canvas directly. Like I always work straight in with the oils. And but sometimes I learned this technique that if you want to cheat, sometimes this isn't even cheating, it's just a little life hack for you guys. If you want to draw on your canvas and you're using oil paint, use oil pastel. And this oil pastel, it's gonna like melt away as soon as you put the oil with like the paint, the oil with the paint, which is the oil paint on top of it, and it'll look like there was nothing underneath. And also, oil pastels are so ridiculously cheap. It's the same thing like how I find with gouache, is that I will not buy an expensive brand of gouache because I feel like they all did the same thing. I know some of you are out there and are like gouache fanatics, gouache experts, and are saying like, "Oh my gosh, you don't know what you're talking about." And you're probably right. But you know what? I don't see a difference, and for the time being, I don't see why I would switch to using the expensive brand of gouache. And the same thing with oil pastels. They're super, super cheap to use and they're super effective, even the cheap ones. So I've been loving them recently, and that's how I've been starting my recent oil paintings, is just like sketching it out quickly with an oil pastel as I do the underpainting, and then getting fancy with that. But even with pastels, I've tried more expensive brands of pastels, and I don't see much difference. Maybe if you're using it in like more kind of serious tone. I don't know. It's all preference. I feel like all materials are just all kind of preference based. But yeah, even soft pastels too. I remember my first paycheck, my first ever paycheck came from Michael's. I was working for Michael's, like the arts and crafts store. And my first ever paycheck, I think it was like 100 something or like $200. I was making student wage, which was less than minimum wage. And my first ever paycheck went to these Rembrandt soft pastels. It was a whole box. I think it cost about $120, I want to say. I barely ever used it. And I don't know if I'm a big fan of soft pastels, to be honest with you. Maybe I need to like get more into it and experiment more with them. But it's just another thing. It's like, I don't see, maybe I need to like experiment with more brands. But those are the kind of things that I feel like I don't need to invest so much money in. See, like paint, on the other hand, I'll invest a lot of money into different kinds of paints. And also, what I learned from this year is I have a very specific paint palette that I like to use. I really like my Prussian blue. I think Prussian blue is my favorite blue. I really like my burnt sienna and my yellow ochre. And then I use some kind of red and some kind of yellow. But the Prussian blue, burnt sienna, and yellow ochre are my like faves that I kind of came up with in this year. And oh yeah, also speaking, this is completely new too. Also speaking about getting back into oil painting in November. So I recently got it in the mail. I actually got into the mail on my birthday. Oh yeah, it was my birthday also. My birthday passed. So I'm 21 years old now, which is like, wow, I need a cane soon. I need to like, oh man. It's so weird having a birth, like not having a birthday, but like it's so weird getting older, because it's like you used to think it was so old, and then now you're that age and you're kind of like living it. But anyways, it was my birthday. Where am I going with this? And I got an email that I got a package. I'm like, who did I get this package from? And it was my buddies in New York from 86 Logic, which is a magazine kind of supporting those in the food service industry. And also, if you guys know me, I've been working in the food service industry since about like grade 10 or 11, which has been such a long time now, and it's been helping me, you know, get through life, pay bills, do other fun stuff. So they really got me a good opportunity to be featured in their magazine. So I have a page in there, as well as some little small doodles included in some of the writing pieces, which is really fun and really cool. And I recommend you check them out. Anyways, where I'm getting at with this is that they used one of my first oil paintings that I made when I got back into oil painting after that really long break that I made, which I think is super cool. And yeah, it's like a full circle moment for me that I really liked. Also, for my birthday, I bought myself a little present. I bought myself a nice French easel that I could take out and go plein air painting. And if you guys have been following me on Instagram for a while, or you guys know me, you know that I love plein air painting, but I unfortunately don't get the chance too often to actually go outside and paint. Just because, like, I don't know. I don't know how people actually do it. Sometimes it gets so uncomfortable if you go by yourself. And then I always find that, like, I have, like, friends that are busy or whatever. And I know that there's, like, public meetups that you can go, like, find them on, like, Facebook or something to go painting with, like, a group of people in Toronto. But it's like, I'm always busy at the time and, like, it never works out. So I haven't been outside painting as much as I'd want to. But during my birthday, I took a week off and I actually did start painting, which is super, super nice. So yeah, I ended up getting this easel, this black French easel, has like a carrying case. It's pretty light. It's still not as light or as like convenient as I would like it to be. So I don't know what I have to look for in terms of like plein air painting. And I also don't know if like the investment to get one of those like tripod style easels is really like worth it for me, like considering how little I actually go out to plein air paint. But we'll see how that goes and we'll see like if in the future I might get one, maybe. You never know. But yeah, so I started getting out more doing that. It's really nice. The thing that I like about plein air painting is, well, in my case especially, is that whatever I make when I'm outside, I feel like looks like complete garbage. And it's just because I don't know what it is. It's like you're in like a new environment, you get kind of like shy, and then there's also it's not as comfortable as working like at home or at a studio where you have a spot to like place everything. And it's such a different experience, but it's a very fun experience at the same time. Anyways, sometimes when you're working like that, I feel like most of my work, it's like, oh, I don't like what I'm doing. I don't like what I'm doing here. I don't like what I did there. And I always come out of it, not always, but like frequently, I come out of it and I don't really like what I made. But then something strange happens. It's like baking a cake. You take it home and you like let it rest for a while. Like you take your eyes off of it and you come back into the room and you're like, wow, like this is actually pretty good. Like I'm not as like embarrassed of it. Not necessarily embarrassed, but like I feel a lot better about it than I did outside. I noticed that a lot with like a lot of school assignments too that I had like earlier on in the semester or maybe even like a few years prior, like in my first and second year. It's like I would create stuff and like, yeah, I would like it. And then I would kind of like hide it, like tuck it away. And it's like when you refind all that stuff, you're like, oh my gosh, like I made this? Like, how did I make this? So it's like, I don't know. I guess like I kind of learned like if you ever feel bad about what you make or if you ever don't like what you make, just let it rest. Let it like how you're making like, I don't know, like a cake or like cinnamon buns or something, and you have to like let it rise, like the yeast. And like that's kind of like the approach I've been taking to things. So even if like let's say I'm posting like an image on like Instagram or Pinterest or anywhere that I kind of like upload things on, and I don't like necessarily like it, like I think like this isn't my best work, maybe I shouldn't upload it. You know what? Upload it. Who cares? Even if you don't think it's your best work, because you're gonna look back on it in like 2 weeks from now, you're gonna be like, oh wow, that was actually pretty good. And you start to get like a little bit of like appreciation for that. And also within like my time off from this whole kind of thing, where I also stopped uploading on YouTube, I privated most of my YouTube videos, just because I thought they were a little embarrassing. But I think I might get back to that. And also, when I was looking back at my YouTube videos a while back ago, by the way, if you're not aware of my YouTube channel, I used to upload like first and second year every single week, and it was like I was actually very committed to that for a while. And then I just stopped just because of like lack of time and other things. And yeah, and then I started looking back on my YouTube videos, especially the ones that I was embarrassed of in the beginning, and I'm like, wow, like this is actually like kind of cool, and this actually like I like this. So yeah, don't be embarrassed of what you do. Just like post it, get it out there. And then if you don't like it, someone will. And wait a few weeks and you'll hopefully eventually like it. So yeah, I've just been like just post whatever you think is nice. And that's all the advice I can give you of what I learned from myself. For my birthday, I also got gifted like this really nice set of green tea. And I went to China in 2017, I think, for a few weeks. And I had the best green tea ever there. We went to this tea farm and they served it to us. And it was just so much different than the things I'd find here. And I never found something that could like compare to it. And I feel like maybe we weren't buying the same tea that they were serving us, because even the tea we bought from China, I felt like it didn't taste like the one I was having there. And I never found anything that could like kind of compare to that kind of flavor. So I got this set of green tea for my birthday, and it tastes like the one I had in China, and it tastes so nice, and it's like, it tastes real. And I've kind of become like a tea snob now, where I can't have other teas except this like really good green tea that I've been drinking, because they just don't taste good to me anymore. And like, they taste artificial and they don't taste like this good green tea. I just wanted to like put this in there that, yeah, I've been loving my green tea. And that's kind of like my new daily routine, is drinking my green tea. And I also got a new mug for my birthday, which I really like. I'm really into ceramics. And one day, like one of my biggest wishes one day is I'll have a really nice, pretty kitchen, and I want all of my dishes to be like handmade ceramics. Like I want to like buy from like each artist, like a handmade thing, like a mug or a plate, because I love that kind of stuff. I love it so much. But again, where I am right now and like as a student, it's not really, you know, sustainable for me to buy the prettiest things for my kitchen when I know that, you know, I might not take the best care of it right now. And I also do want to try making my own ceramics, but I try signing myself up for courses, but it's we get very full often. I feel like my schedule is a bit too busy right now. But one day I want to, like, I'll eventually get there. Like, one time I'll find a nice course that fits in well with my schedule and, like, day. And I'll get down and start doing it. But, yeah, for my birthday, I got a really nice handmade ceramic mug, which I really like. And I've been drinking my green tea out of. And that's what I'm doing right now, actually, is drinking my green tea out of my really nice mug. What else have I been up to recently? I've been going out a lot. I've been very into biking, like cycling. That's like a better word for it. And I've been like hitting like 10, 15, 20 kilometers a day. And it's just so nice, because like you lose track of time when you do it, and it's very refreshing. I've been reading a lot. Especially on like the subway and the bus, I picked up reading again. The most productive I think I've ever felt was in second year, right before the start of second year. I moved to a new spot, which was a little further from my work, and I had to have a longer commute to work. And every morning I'd feel like so much motivation in the morning, because I moved out of my first place. Okay, let's backtrack a little bit. The place I lived in first year was not the most ideal. It was a basement, like barely any sunlight. My sleep was so messed up because of that. I just had like no productivity in me, because I never had, like, it's like basically living somewhere and you never know when it's day or when it's nighttime, which is like a little scary. And I moved to this other place a little further from my work than my other first place house. And once I moved there and I had like this like daylight sunlight, I had so much more motivation. I'd wake up really early. I'd do like stretches, and then I'd go on the bus to get to work, and I'd read a lot. And I just felt so productive and so good. And I feel like I'm starting to get back into that habit of doing that, which is really like exciting me. And I've been really liking that. And especially if you can get past the, because it used to make me really nauseous whenever I used to read in like a moving vehicle. I feel like if you do like little by little, you kind of get past that. It's a really good way to read, because it's like, what else are you going to do on a like a bus or like a subway? It's fun. And I've been enjoying that. I've been reading some boring stuff. Like, I'm not really into novels too much, I don't think. Maybe I just like haven't given them too big of a shot, like too big of a chance. But I've been reading these like critical essays about it's like contemporary art and like there's different like art discussions and like interviews too. And I feel like that's like so it's just I don't know, it's something I like to read, it's something I like to do. It's another like weird thing of mine. But that's what I've been enjoying doing. Tea, cycling, reading, and hopefully more painting for this summer. But yeah, that's basically what I've been up to recently and what I've been doing. And things have been looking a lot brighter because I feel like I've gotten more into the swing of things of like getting back to normal after like the past 2 years or so of like craziness. And yeah, that's that. So, anyways, welcome back to my podcast, and I hope to see you guys soon. Thank you so much for listening, and have a wonderful, wonderful week or day or night if you're listening to this at nighttime. All right, see you in the next one.